everybody.
Hey, Bruce.
Charles, thank you very much for that introduction. Thank you to Joanna and Neva and Dick for having us in your home. Thank you to Cheryl, who I haven't met yet. Are you back there, Cheryl? Hi. I'm very much looking forward to hearing you read. So thank you for being here. And thank you all for coming. This is a real pleasure. In the spirit of this occasion, as a fundraiser for the WISE Arts Program, and also in honor of Valentine's Day, I thought I'd read poems on the themes of art and love. So I'm going to start with a couple of poems from my book and then read some material from the manuscript of my second book. So this is my book, The Maintenance of the Shimmy Shammy, published in 2015. And without further ado, I'd like to read my first poem. This poem starts with an epigraph by Peter Sheldahl, the arts critic for The New Yorker. And he's writing about Giorgio Morandi, the Italian modernist painter. And he wrote, "The arenas of his greatness were the tabletops in his small studio." And this is called Still Life with Plums. "In my apartment, I make my paintings. A vase, long white neck with a thick lip, I set beside a squat white bowl. I try cherries in the bowl. I take the cherries away. I try two plums, two lovers for the bowl. I remove the plums. I try in desperation one Sunday afternoon a single muskmelon. 4 days it sits there, bloated in the bowl. I haven't the heart to admit I put it there in the first place by moving it. But I do. During a rainstorm, I do. I drop the melon from a window overlooking the street. I do not watch it land, but turn and see the perfect empty bowl beside the long white vase. And then I paint. 1 week, 2 weeks. When it's finished, I let the painting dry while I go out and walk around the town. I wave at shopkeepers. I sit in the park and read newspapers. Back in my apartment, I take the painting from the easel, place it along a wall against a stack of others. Turning back, I see the vase, the bowl, across the room on their little table. Sunlight, take a step towards." And this is called "Single Male Seeks Someone Who'll Stay." "I opened the door to get the paper last Sunday, and there was a goose standing on the front step. It looked up at me, then took one step to the side, making room for me to pass. So I did. What else was there to do? I walked out onto the lawn, picked up the paper, and walked back to the door. When I opened it, the goose stepped inside and waddled into the living room. I stood outside holding the door. Did a goose just walk into my house? It turned a corner and went into the hallway to the bedroom. I stepped inside. I am following a goose into my house, I said out loud as I did. I walked through the living room, turned into the hall just in time to see the goose fly up and out through a window I had not remembered leaving open. And then the goose flew away, I said out loud to no one. In fact, it was at that instant that I realized finally just how empty my life was." So now I'd like to read you poems from my second book manuscript. It's called Gullier, and it's currently making the rounds. So if you have any fingers, you can cross one. This is called It's Something People in Love Do. And I should say, this also begins with an epigraph. This is by the poet Heather Crystal. And the epigraph reads, "We were happy and wretched and cloudy and setting fire to everything for warmth." And this is called It's Something People in Love Do. It's a late film, not one of their best, clogged with a love interest that never really makes your pants itch. But when the Marx Brothers keep the train moving so the hero can make it to town to record the deed and afford to marry the girl of his dreams, they chop the whole damn train up to feed the fire. Frightened passengers in bustles and waistcoats watch their seats axed from beneath them as women cradle their children and men stand around looking affronted. Then they hack up the walls and the roofs, carrying armfuls of train forward to turn into steam, to keep things moving. And I'm not saying we should watch fewer old movies. What I am saying is maybe everything's not a metaphor for trying to pay the bills on time. I love your credit score. It could pin my credit score to the late summer soil and pee on its head. My credit score would roll over and take it. But what do you think of that chicken dinner I made last night? How caramelized the thighs, the bourbon from a plastic jug. How beautiful that farmhouse looks passing by in the distance. If we could get off this train, we could go get it and tear it to pieces with our teeth, tossing hallways and lintels to the flames. Then we could clean each other's faces with our tongues. It's called kissing. People in love do it. This is called otherwise inexplicable animation to the forms above. Today I replaced the plastic sugar bowl with a glass peanut butter jar so we don't get killed by our sugar bowl. I can honestly say my 18-year-old self could not have predicted this. Above the earth, air is measured in miles, which is reassuring. Hermit crabs needing larger shells gather in lines of decreasing sizes. So when a new empty comes along, each hands their used down to the next smallest. They hold on to one another while they wait. The water is full of animals holding on to one another. And when Picasso's sculptures touch the earth at more than one point, each footing conveys a specific weight and tension, which means some like ballerinas, some flat-footed, some the foundations of tall buildings, some like a winter gnat, resting lighter than paper on paper. The reason authorities warn us when they're going to test the emergency siren is because some of us will spill coffee on ourselves if we hear a wailing we're not expecting, if the neighbors look at us in our window the moment we happen to be looking out. Another poem about neighbors. This is called "The People Who Live Near Us Are Our Neighbors." I used to have "Unfortunately" at the end, but I thought that was good. Two doors down, the neighbor kid hung a white wire reindeer with twinkle lights from a tree, as if freshly shot and ready for butchery. It's pleasing to live so near the country, the trees, the rolling hills, and apple stands, but it does mean you have to put up with gunshots into the scrubland on winter evenings. Some nights there's a patrol car parked out front. We wish him and his family the best. We eat popcorn because it's all natural and sort of old-fashioned and brings us a little closer to the life of the soil. The life of the soil is nearby, past the gas station on 57, up the road from the dog park, across the intersection from where the guy lost control and slammed into a mother of three. He was driving to McDonald's. It said that on the news report. He'd smoked the heroin just before heading out for his Tuesday dinner. His little silver cloud rising above us all. The dead reindeer made of lights, the popcorn, the gradual inconsistencies, and the fields someone still plows and tends and pulls pumpkins from when the morning dew gives gradually way to frost. I've tried many sonnets in my life and only had one that seemed to work, so the sonnet I'm sharing with you. It's not rhymed and it's not in meter, but the fact that it's a sonnet. It is 14 lines. This is called "Smell of Wet Earth Like the Inside of My Hands." When I step outside, I want the raindrops, pressing me a little deeper with each falling. I might meet our spinning nickel center, shining a dark light, wet overcoat of itself. And I want the wild azalea above to speak one good sentence in my life worthy of carving into a pine, one of those waiting in an elementary school playground where they still want the kids to have a tree, so they paved right up to the bark on that one. I go to the drugstore sometimes just to watch us. The hesitation in the ill-lit aisle. Who buys a loaf of bread at Rite Aid? I do. You're waiting at home, and you're hungry. This is called To the Dirt, Which Will in Time Consume Us All. It's an uplifting title. The camera pulls back to show a man running down an empty city street. F-I-N appears white across my chest. The camera keeps retreating, revealing more. How would you like to go? Last night, or was it two nights ago, I smashed a spider against my house with my laptop lid. Some people say scientists have proven traumatic memories get passed down through DNA. I don't recall how, something to do with being brutal to mice. I love scientists. They're trying their hardest and they just want love. Whole schools of photographers exist around expired film, cheap plastic cameras with limitations, scratches on the negatives. I love artists. They're trying their hardest and they just want to be loved. Meanwhile, we live in the side of a hill now. The house is ours, so the hill is our problem. Before, we could just drive by laughing, throwing beer cans out the car window. Last weekend, you took a shovel and repaired the retaining wall. I forgot where that's at on my list, near the top, probably. I brought out cooling beverages and took your picture when you were done. The shovel already put away in the shed. I went and got it back out, placed it in your right glove, stepped back. You tipped your cowgirl hat and gave the subsiding hillside the finger with your other glove. It's cowhide yellow, like a star down in our yard. This poem also begins with an epigraph. I don't use them that much, but it just so happened with the selections. This epigraph is by someone you may have heard of. It's D.H. Lawrence. It's from his letter, his letter to Lady Cynthia Asquith from Sunday, January 30th, 1915. And the epigraph reads, "And I saw the sea lifting up and shining like a blade with the sun on it. And high up in the icy wind, an aeroplane flew toward us from the land." And this poem is called Bring Me With You. I looked at my ass in the large living room mirror this morning and thought youth has left me, spinning slowly to a stop in the mud rut of a country road on the way to some place locals dump dead refrigerators. I need to stop talking to myself and start exercising more. We begin by finding the power walkers unbelievably silly and end by wondering where we could get away with it without our friends seeing. I love the woman I sleep with every night, and I take this moment to thank her for all she does. On hot nights, we barely touch, but there's always some small part that does. A kneecap pressed along a thigh, the bottom of a foot against the top of a big toe. In the morning, I invariably wake up with my arms around her, as if I was trying to save her from drowning. I'd grab her the same way. I'd lay flat and let her use me for a raft, the waves slopping up the side of my body. She, sitting with her knees up under her chin, one hand above her eyes, scanning the horizon, the other steadying herself on my ass. And just two more. This is called Sick of Sick. In the future we ended up getting, our colds last weeks and weeks. We spend glamorous Saturdays coughing at the arm of the couch, flinching at the thought of someone touching our midsection. The bugs get stronger, and we look like dogs wandering the streets, seeking shelter. Anyways, that's how it feels today. I can hear you coughing from another room. Remember how July felt? I stopped myself in a moment then, thought, don't take it for granted. I forget what I went and did after that, but confound it if 4 months later with the windows shut and the furnace on, if I don't feel as if I went ahead and took it for granted. When will I learn? We've bought so much cold medicine, we're probably on some sort of a registry. The kid at the store doesn't even ask for our IDs anymore. He just rings the stuff up and gives us that look. Do I make myself cough while swiping my debit card, even if I don't have to just then? Yes, I'll admit I do. Does it get me anywhere? No, it does not. My brain is muddled with mucus. Every day is the same as the last. Some of them I drag myself to work anyway. The rest I nurse myself. I want to be hot rotting. drunk driving golf carts into hot midnight reservoirs, having sex in inappropriate locations, but I'm nursing myself instead. Let's both get better so we can have sex in inappropriate places. We'll follow that checkout clerk home and do it on the hood of his car while the engine's still warm and the ticking of cooling strong metals. And this is my last poem, so thanks again, everybody, for coming. Thank you all for hosting. This is called Our Beautiful Life When It's Filled with Shrieks. I'm doing a balancing act with a stack of fresh fruit in my basket. I love you. I want us both to eat well. We're not allowed to buy blackberries anymore because they're mean to their workers, and you read left-wing news sites. Till when, I asked, and you said nothing. So that's one healthy food off the list. I'm still buying pineapples, and you're still eating them. I guess you've never seen the websites about those. Nobody in this supermarket knows that I am a puma. This morning, our cat rolled on the floor, showing me her belly, which I leaned down and rubbed. Beneath a backyard pine tree, the neighbor's cat was eating one of our cat's moles, at least the moles we rent from the landlord for her. It's so complicated staying alive sometimes. The voices of the collection agencies and the answering machine sound menacing. They're paid to sound that way, and they're not paid much more than the people they're menacing, which can get you thinking if you're the sort who likes to think about that sort of thing. Other people subscribe to adventure cycling magazines and read about men who rode across Turkey in the late 1800s, before anything was happening in the world, before cantaloupes probably existed, when you could get an honest wage for an honest day's blackberries, when we loved like fierce mountain storms with the blood of eagles in our hearts, exchanging grocery lists that just said you, 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 all the way down. Wow.